party!
Hello and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. Today is Monday, December 8th, 2014, and you're listening to episode 132. We are quickly approaching 2015. My name is
John.
I don't know. My name is Rob, actually. That's Jason. I think I started to say Jason and then corrected it to Rob, and it just went poorly.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi. So as soon as I said the thing earlier, I realized that was probably going to be on the beginning of the show.
Well,
so.
Yeah.
Then she started talking. I was like, well, crap. Oh, well.
Yeah, you made that happen.
I don't mean to embarrass myself. It just happens.
So, well, whatever. Sometimes you got to. Sometimes you got to. Hi, how's it going? What's new?
Oh, not a lot.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's the holidays. So the holidays are happening.
Yeah. Lots of holiday
season things.
Yeah. Are you going to go all out bonkers nuts and buy a bunch of gifts for your kids this year?
No, we go kind of minimal on that.
Kind of minimal.
We actually don't buy gifts for each other. So yeah, so we actually I feel like we should each buy a gift for each other with the kids. That way they can feel like they bought something for us. So.
Well, Laurel probably doesn't care.
No, not Laurel, Josiah.
Yeah.
So we'll probably do that. But other than that, we don't really do, I mean, we're just, I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. I mean, it's just not a thing. So, yeah.
I think last year, Christine and I just did stockings for each other, you know, uh-huh. No like big gifts. We just, you know, got whatever, a few small things would fit into a stocking. And we liked that a lot because it was small things that were cheap.
Yep.
And it was, you ended up having, you know, a bunch of little things to open and that was fun. Right. And just for the two of us. And that
it
was,
is, yeah.
We liked that a lot. So I think we'll probably do that again this year.
Other than that, the roof was a nice Christmas present.
Yeah, right. because of that roof, we need to go pretty light with all the family and stuff.
Right.
So, but that's okay. We're not going to be able to escape for the holidays this year like we did last year, sadly. Oh,
well. Yeah, it happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, we have kids now, so for Christmas, we just stay home.
That's a pretty good reason to have kids.
Right.
Yeah.
It's great, though, because we're like, hey, you know, I want the kids to have, you know, my Christmases were always traveling around, so those are Steph's, and so yeah. Now it's this way. We can, it's a thing. It's a tradition. We want to stay home with the kids, mm-hmm. You know. So.
I think it's good. Yeah, so, we always stayed home for Christmas in my house, too. And I always liked that a lot.
So yeah. We'll end up seeing our family, like, the week before, but whatevs. Mm-hmm. You know what we have coming up soon that I just thought about today?
What's that?
Our year in review episode.
That's in a couple of weeks here. Yeah.
Next time we record, I think, or maybe the time after that. Might be the time after that, but...
But, 2014.
Soon, yeah, it's crazy
recapped. Man, that'll be a big episode for us.
What's the date today?
Today's the 8th.
Today's the 8th. So, yeah, actually, it is the next time we record, I'm pretty sure.
Ooh, I think you're right.
That's crazy.
Man, that's a lot to think about and get ready for.
Yeah.
Hmm.
We just talk about some stuff.
Yeah, whatever.
We actually have to prepare for that episode. Oh, gosh.
I hate preparing for episodes, which is why we don't have a topic to talk about tonight. Hey, what you been playing, Jason?
not a ton. I've been playing some games on my new phone. Did you know I got an iPhone 6 Plus?
No way, really? I didn't know that.
Listeners know that? I just wanted to tell everybody. You know why I want to tell everybody? Because I waited 7 freaking weeks for it. That's why I want to tell everybody. Because I ordered the most popular size in the most popular color with the most popular hard drive size.
Yeah, you did. You went the white, man. No, why?
It's silver.
Oh, it's silver. It's white.
It's white on front, silver on back.
Silver on the back.
Good thing it's silver since I have a case covering it so you can't tell. See that little sliver right there? That is silver.
That looks white to me.
Well, you're stupid. It's silver.
Well, it's dark in here.
So anyways, I've been playing some games on that. I'm playing this game called Epic Island, which is just a standard like freemium game where like you fight people and stuff. But it's kind of fun. Like it keeps me entertained. And then I've been playing this other game. Oh, gosh. What is it called? Let me see what it's called here. I can't remember. It's a match 3 game. I actually specifically went looking for match 3 games before we went on our trip to Florida.
Yeah.
This is Best Fiends, which is a stupid pun. But anyways, it's a decently fun game. It's a match 3 game where you can level up your little bugs that are on your team. I think they're actually alien bugs, but whatever.
Okay.
Long story short, you're fighting mutant slugs. It's kind of fun.
Okay.
So.
Great. Good.
Good times.
Yeah, I didn't play any games, actually. I downloaded a few on my phone for that trip to Florida, but I ended up just reading a book the whole time. The book is called Reamed by Neal Stephenson. Very, very good. Highly recommend it. If anybody out there knows Neal Stephenson, he wrote Snow Crash, Cryptonomicon, Those two are two of my favorite books of all time. Highly recommended for anybody who likes cyberpunk. And Rimdi is a little bit more of a modern cyber thriller. I hate to use that word, but it works. It's really good. Anyway.
Cyber
squirrels. I think I said before I was playing Marvel Puzzle.
Yeah.
Puzzle Quest. Yeah, I gave up on that pretty quick. That game got boring.
I tried to play it, and I was like, oh, this is terrible.
Yeah, I totally lost interest in that. I was playing some more of Dragon Age Origins, which I talked about a few weeks ago. Uh-huh. And it was kind of turning into a drag, and then I watched a little video, because the new one, Dragon Age Inquisition, just came out. And I watched a little video about that, and it looked neat, but really just kind of made me want to play Skyrim again. So last weekend I put Skyrim back in. I think I probably played that for about, I'm going to say about 10 more hours.
Wow.
Last weekend.
Wow.
Dude, Skyrim is so good. Like I had already put about 60 hours into that game. Oh, well, I quit playing because it kept crashing on me, and I finally took the time to look up bug fixes and found a bug fix for PS3. So I did that, and then so I think I'm up to about 70 hours now, and I still, there are a lot of quests and things that I have not finished, have only just barely begun. Quest lines and stories and things. So, yeah, so I'm about halfway through the Mage College quest in that right now, and I'm enjoying it. It's like playing it for the first time again. Man, Skyrim is so good. It's so good, dude.
I've heard that, but I can't invest that much time into a game. It's so good. It doesn't interest me.
It's so good. Skyrim is the best game. And there's DLC for it now, too, that I haven't played. Since I quit, they released a bunch of DLC for it, so it's even more crap I can do.
Wow.
So, anyway.
Because they're just going to keep making DLC for that game as long as
they're done.
Right?
There were three DLCs, two like full-on mission things, and then another thing where they allow you to like build your own house, and you can adopt a kid and stuff.
Did you do that?
I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to, because why wouldn't I? Yeah, man, that game's good.
Awesome. Good. Glad you're having fun with it.
Yeah.
Okay, so we tried and tried really hard to think of a topic. We really did. We talked a lot. We did some research. We just could not find something that we wanted to talk about.
Right. So we're copping out.
And we don't want to force something to, we're just going to be like, oh, so we're going to talk about this. All right. Well, yeah.
So instead,
not saying that's never happened before, but we don't want it to happen again.
We don't
want to
do it again. We don't do it too often. So instead, we're going to go to one of our favorite websites, which is BoardGameIzer.com.
Yeah.
Shout out to BoardGameIzer. And I think we're just going to hit the button and see what we get.
And we're gonna make a fun pitch up.
Yeah. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay. I'm going to hit the button. One other idea. Here we go. Mechanic, route building, theme, convoy, European city. Victory, the most money. Do we want to add a constraint?
Yeah.
Can't be played on a table. Whoa. That's good.
Mind blown.
That is good.
That's the best constraint ever.
That is great.
So my first thought when you said European most money route building was that you're like Hans Gruber from Die Hard.
Uh-huh.
Before he falls and dies at the end. Uh-huh. Spoiler, dude, the movie was made in 1980s.
Yeah, and nobody cares.
Calm down. But anyways, and you're trying to transport gold, like, and you're trying to like get like,
so we're smugglers.
So we're basically, yeah, like we've stolen all this gold.
Okay.
From
so
someplace.
The heist is over. We already heisted the armored truck.
Yeah. This is the distribution and getaway.
Okay.
To give the money to everyone that needs it, who's played a part.
Well, remember the theme is convoy European city.
Convoy, yeah. Okay. So we're in Europe and we're on a convoy with all our buckets of gold.
We're driving three Mini Coopers full of gold.
It's the Italian job,
it's
dude.
It's the Italian job. That's a European city.
What?
The Italian job? The original Italian? It's in Turin.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying the Italian job is a European city. And I was like, Italy has some cities? So, okay. So that's, okay. Let's do that. It's the Italian job, but I want to still be Hans Gruber.
Okay. You can still be Hans Gruber.
Shoot the glass. Okay. Let me just nitpick about that movie for a split second.
Sure.
Everybody's seen Die Hard. So
yeah,
John McClane's hiding behind the thing, right? And this is the part where he's already seen him, so he knows he's barefoot. He's like, oh, better than getting caught with your pants down.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, he's hiding, and Hans is like, right? Which I don't know.
Something in German. That,
something in German. Four times gibberish. In a row, right?
Yeah.
And they're all like, what? Da? Da? I think that's Russian, but whatever. They're like, we don't understand, blah, 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 in German. And he's like, shoot the glass. So to be clear.
All these Germans don't understand German, but they understand English.
As soon as he's like, I'm going to be serious and speak in English, they're like, oh. It's an awesome part of the movie, though. Die Hard is
still awesome.
Is, I think, probably my all-time favorite action movie ever. Because it's so different than most action movies.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in so long.
And John McClane, dude. I mean, you can't go wrong with John McClane. Is I believe the best action hero.
He's
ever.
Never been that good though. Every other movie since then has paled in comparison.
Well, but I mean, that movie was literally perfection.
Oh yeah.
Even the datedness of it doesn't feel wrong. Sure. Like when you're like, well, look at that hair.
Well, the limo driver singing and dancing in his car in the basement. That's pretty bad.
But it still isn't the worst. I mean, like, there are a lot of movies that have aged a lot worse than that.
It's still, that's pretty bad, though.
It's true. It's
true. But that's the only bad part of that movie.
Right.
And it's a pretty minor part. Yeah.
So, anyways, okay. So sorry. So you're doing the Italian job thing. So, all right. So here's the problem. Uh-huh. Can't be played on a table.
Uh-huh. Can't be played on a table.
So let's talk about why it can't be played on a table. Because you can't just say, here's a board game. You can't play it on a table. That's a cop-out.
Yeah.
So why could it not be played on a table? You're driving real cars in Europe. That's a cop out as well.
Well, we could say that this is. Can we use Hot Wheels?
You could play that on a table.
You're right.
I mean, you can't say that we can't play on a table because the board's just too.
So
big.
It's got to be. It's so can if you can't be played on a table, it's got to be stuff that you're moving around with that you are requires activity and moving furniture.
What?
Well. I don't know, but like moving big things, because we're building a route, right? We have to build a route.
So, okay. So what if your house was the European city?
Like your whole house represents?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we could use yarn to represent routes. They do that in a game where they have like string or something. But the routes run from room to room within your house. So make it an asymmetrical game, right? All of the players are the smugglers, the thieves, except for one who is whatever Interpol or whatever they use in all those action movies, right?
Sure.
So we each have our own color of yarn, right? So I'm building routes within my, like, we're all building routes, but the bad guys can use each other's routes, right? And I would say that at any given time, the dude, the Interpol dude or dudette, is trying to follow those routes to collect to get a specific person, right? Like, so, like, everybody is a different person, and he gets a card that says, this is the person that I have intel on right now. This is the person I have to get. They are the red yarn, right? So he's trying to follow the red yarn, but the catch is, I can use my red yarn to get to a room, and then I can use your yellow yarn to get me out of that room to another place, where I then can pick up my red yarn again. See what I mean? So, like, we're constantly setting up things to move this gold throughout the house. That's all I have.
I'm just not seeing that working. I'm not seeing the reliable structure in that.
I didn't say there was reliable structure in that. I just said,
I don't mean to crap all over your idea, but here's a different one.
This is time slime all over again, dude.
Yeah, it is.
Such a jerk.
Okay. What if it's a role-playing game?
Everybody hates role-playing games.
No, that's not true.
I'm just kidding. I love role-playing games.
It's not true.
I really do, though. I really do like role-playing games.
So it's okay. So it's a role-playing game. So so the players have everyone's dealt a card that tells them what their role in the game is. Okay. So we have some smugglers. Let's say we have three smugglers who are driving their Mini Coopers full of gold. We have a crooked police officer. Okay.
Okay.
And we have the mobster whose gold we stole.
Okay.
Okay. So we have these five roles.
Okay.
All right. And everybody wants to get all the gold or as much of the gold as possible.
Well, of course.
Right. Okay. And there is... Let's say there's a pile of bricks on the floor in front of all these players. We got five players. We have 10 bricks on the floor in front of us.
Are they painted gold?
They're painted gold.
They're not really bricks.
Well, they're the size of bricks and they're heavy.
This is going to be a packaging nightmare.
Well, this is we're brainstorming here. We're not thinking in practicality right now. Okay. So at the beginning of the game, the smugglers end up with control of, start with control of the gold. Okay. So the smugglers have control of the gold. Now we need some way for the police, crooked police captain, and for the mobster to engage in conflict with the smugglers.
Fist fight. No. Okay.
Well, it's a role-playing game, so we need some kind of stats that we can roll a die against.
LARP.
Yeah, so we can LARP with this stuff, you know? So we need some kind of conflict resolution option there.
If you're actually going to have gold bars, you pretty much are LARPing.
Yeah.
To be clear.
I know. But so route building, I'm trying to think about how to get route building into this. And see, when I'm thinking route building,
You could use yarn and go to different rooms.
I'm thinking about like relationship building in terms of, you know, building connections. Kind of, this is kind of a conceptual thing. So you're not just building connections between locations, you're building connections between people. And you're trying to build alliances. The smugglers all want all the gold for themselves. Everyone's in it for themselves.
Oh, let me interrupt you.
Okay.
You just gave me a great idea.
Okay.
It combines yarn that's not yarn and your idea.
Okay.
Everybody wears long sleeve shirts, right? Let's just make that concession. Everybody wears long sleeve shirts.
Okay.
The people you're allied with, mm-hmm. you have these popular bracelets that everybody has, these little rubber ones.
Yeah, I didn't even see that you were wearing
in one. Different colors, right?
Okay.
So, like, if I'm wearing your color bracelet, that means we have an alliance, right? Okay. So, but the smugglers, like, no one can ever see who has what with who, right?
Okay.
So it's hidden information. Does that make sense?
Okay.
So that's all I got. But right. I think that would be really cool as a good secret way to build routes / relationships.
Sure.
And hide it would be with these.
So I think an easier way to do that would be with card. And everybody starts a game with a certain number of cards that they can give away.
That's lame.
And then you can just slip those cards in your pocket.
That's lame, but okay, whatever. Lameness.
Let's well, go but with that it. Allows you to have multiples of your of cards that it match does. Your, so you can build these right. connections with people.
It's true.
Right. And so maybe, okay, so you're building these routes. And so these are people that you can, because you can't carry all 10 bricks of gold with you. You need somebody else to help you carry those things out, right?
Right.
So through role playing, you need to build a consensus. You need to kind of make a deal with somebody and get them on your side so they can help you carry the gold away. But somehow you still need to be able to be carrying more than them.
They're going to notice, though, because you're going to be carrying more than them.
Well,
it's a visual thing, you know.
Well, then maybe we don't have actual bricks of gold. Maybe we have...
What if we have bricks of gold, but we also have briefcases?
I really like that idea. That is the great idea. In which case, we could actually just have cards in an envelope, but...
We can't play this game at a table, Rob.
You're right.
No, but here's what you could do, because like this is the common problem in a game like this where like secret information. What if the bricks of gold are in a separate room, and you walk in with your briefcase, and you're allowed to take a certain number based on what cards you have?
Yeah,
but no one knows how much you have in your briefcase,
and you can't fit 10 in your briefcase,
right?
Yeah,
but then Howie Mandel asks which number you want, and then a lady in an evening gown opens the case for you.
Very pretty lady.
And then deal or no deal, Rob. But no, seriously, I think that it would be cool if there was if you had briefcases.
Yeah.
So I walk in the room, do my thing, walk back out, and then
you tell everybody how many bricks you just picked up.
Right. Yes.
And then okay, all right. So the game starts with the game starts with 10 bricks in another room and everyone has an empty briefcase. Okay.
Right.
And the first guy has to go in and he has a card that tells him how many bricks he can take. He doesn't have to take that many. He can take up to that many.
Right.
Okay. And then he has to take however many bricks he wants. He comes back and he puts the card down or shows everybody the card saying, here's how many I took, or here's how many I could have took, but I only took this number. And the next guy goes in the room, he's going to know exactly how many bricks that guy took, you know?
Right.
So what's to stop him? So he immediately is going to want to make a deal with that guy because he's like, hey, I know something you don't, or I know something no one else does about you.
Right, because if you ever know exactly how many bricks someone else took, mm-hmm. then you have a lot of power over them.
Yeah. And so, but then no one else for the who was playing this game, the other three people who are playing the game, don't know that and don't have that information.
Right.
And so they don't know. So they're at a disadvantage here.
It's kind of like drafting with gold bricks.
Yeah. So player two, in this case, has a lot of power.
Right.
Has a lot of power, but only over player one.
Right.
Player one is kind of at the mercy of everyone.
Well, just player two.
Well, player actually. Two, but... All right. So then we have... So they have these cards that identify how many bricks they're allowed to take. Hopefully, by the time they get to that fifth player, all those bricks are gone. But you don't. But maybe they're not. But then those bricks are sealed up. No one can go back in that room anymore.
Right.
So the only person who knows how many bricks are left in there is the last player.
Right. But the player before the fourth player would know how many they left.
Yeah.
So they would also. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you could actually hose the fifth player and not have any gold bricks left in there.
You could, yeah. You totally could. So that, yeah, so... I think we're on the edge of something.
Well, like, okay, so let's say that having no gold is bad for you. Like, super bad for you. But having the exact amount someone knows is also bad for you. So, like, if I leave one brick for you and you go in there,
mm-hmm.
now you have to make a decision. Do I want to take the brick and you're going to know what I have? Or do I want to...
Okay. You want to have the most gold. You want to have more bricks than anyone else, but you want everyone else to have at least one brick because then everyone's guilty. But you get away with it. But if one guy ends the game with no bricks, then he wins because he didn't break any laws by stealing gold.
Right. Well, maybe that means he's the turncoat. He's the traitor, right?
Yeah.
Because he didn't take any bricks because he's like the undercover cop.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So one of you is an undercover cop. Right.
Maybe.
Okay. So you've got six roles. One of them is an undercover cop, but you only deal out five.
Well, I guess it would be the cop. No. The cop is an undercover cop / dirty cop. So if he takes money, he's a dirty cop. But if he doesn't, he's an undercover cop.
Right.
So if there's role selection within your role selection.
Yeah.
We call it double role selection.
Yeah.
BTG coined that term.
Droll selection.
See? And this is why we don't coin terms right off the bat.
All right. This is turned into an interesting social game. Not necessarily about route building, but it maybe network building. I kind of like where this is going.
What if there's got to be something that determines how much gold you can actually are allowed to take? What if there were numbers on the gold bars, right?
Oh.
And the cards you had totaled certain numbers.
Yeah, so this gold brick is worth one, but that one's worth three.
Yeah.
And you can take a total of two,
and
no more than two.
And maybe you have to leave the cards you use to purchase that gold.
Maybe you have to leave.
So that gives you more information, you know what I mean? Like, what would be interesting too is like if there were multiple rounds with drop points, right? So basically, like, everyone this would be kind of cool, right? Like, what if it's a game, you've got a deck of cards, right? Like, you know, maybe like seven cards, right? And somewhere in those cards, in the bottom three cards, is the final destination card, right? So you're basically all transporting gold between each one, right? And you always want to have the most gold because you never know for sure when you're going to get to your final destination, right? And when you get to that final destination, that's when you're going to try and get away with the gold.
Mm-hmm.
But until then, you're kind of at the mercy of the group. So somehow you have to put gold back every time, right?
Hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. So, well, you'd be like you ditch it while you're in transit.
Right.
Yeah, you throw it out the window of the car.
No, I mean, like, we get to the next rendezvous point, and uh-huh. it's like, all right, everybody, pony up your gold. Like, let's make sure we have it all. And, of course, at the first stop, you're not going to have it all because schmucks are going to be holding onto that gold.
Yeah.
I think you'd need more than 10 bars, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably need, like, 20 bars or something.
I'm liking this as a deck of cards, and the cards are one, two, or three bars per card.
Right.
You know? And so, it started, maybe you have 10 cards. 10 cards, but there's more than that number of bars on each card. Or maybe there's 20 cards. Right. I don't know. That can be figured out. But because I like that idea of there being valued at 1, 2, or 3, or maybe even 5 or whatever.
Right.
Because then when you add up the total, you could have... It's going to be harder to count cards, basically.
Right.
Yeah. I like that a lot. And so it'd be easier for somebody to hide a card in their pocket or behind their back or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's something there. Yeah. There's something there. That was a fun challenge.
Yeah.
Woohoo, Board Game Miser. Yay. Best restriction ever. Or what do they call it?
Constraint.
Best constraint ever.
Yeah.
Cannot be played on a table.
Right. And now, in the end, I think we're getting back something that could be played on a table, but...
But that's only because it actually sounds like a real game.
Right. Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. All right.
I'm going to pitch a game now.
Do that.
There was also a challenge. Who set this up again for us?
So a few weeks ago, Daniel, we were talking with Daniel. He's at Point Salad on Twitter about records and stuff. I was talking to him, and he suggested that we do a pitch challenge where we each come up with a game based on an album cover. And last week, I pitched a game called Custard Pie, inspired by the cover of the Led Zeppelin album Physical Graffiti. And now it's Jason's turn.
So I am going to pitch a game based on the Beastie Boys album, Paul's Boutique.
Excellent.
So you immediately started looking through your records. I immediately started Googling because I don't have records.
Yeah.
So I immediately started Googling album covers. And one of my first thoughts was, it's probably going to be a Beastie Boys cover. And the one of them I thought it was Ill Communication, where the dude looks like he's like ordering at a restaurant in like a Blues Brothers-y outfit. but then I was like, no, Paul's Boutique. So I quick looked it up and I'd actually forgotten that Paul's Boutique folds out as well to make a big like panoramic street scene. But of course the main focus is this boutique called Paul's Boutique.
Yeah. The little antique store.
Yeah. So my game is called Bob's Bodega. So the idea of this game is it's a two player game, specifically just for two players. And the board is actually the album cover, right? So the board is, you've got the boutique on one side, and inside the boutique are 10 slots where you would sell goods. And then there's the long strip, and that strip is where tourists are coming from. So tourists are walking up a track on the board. They move so many squares each turn. And then outside of your store, a few squares back, is a street vendor, right? Street vendor is a very common thing that you see in New York, mm-hmm. in the city.
Yep.
So the idea is one player is the bodega owner and one player is the street vendor. So it's asymmetrical gameplay, kind of. But you do both have the common goal, so it's not completely asymmetrical. The common goal is to make the most money, right?
Okay.
So what happens each turn, like I said, customers are coming in. When customer comes in, they have demands. They have things they're looking for, right? Now, when you first see them hit the track, you know, okay, in a couple turns, I'm going to want to have this stocked in my store because they're going to buy it, right? So the bodega owner, he has a deck of supplies, basically like a deck of items he can sell, right? And there are duplications in there. Mm-hmm. And he can have a hand of as many of those cards as he wants, right? He'll draw X number each turn, and he's allowed to have 10 items in stock, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if a customer gets to his store... He can choose whether or not to sell to that customer. But the customer, if he has what the customer wants, the customer will buy it. Same goes for the street vendor, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, why would he not want to sell? He wants to make money. Well, here's the catch. So the street vendor, when the guys move across the track, the street vendor basically can undercut, right? Like each item that sells has a value. There's the face value and there's half that. Half that is what the street vendor makes if he sells it. Full value is what the bodega makes if he sells it, right? Because street vendors always sell things at lesser value. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So when the customer hits that street vendor, the street vendor is going to have a choice. If they have an item in stock, now they can only stock 3 items at a time, right? So they're a lot more limited. And maybe 3 is too little, maybe 5 would be better, but they can stock a lot less than the bodega can. When a customer gets to them, they have the option to sell to the customer if they have what the customer wants. However, they also have another interesting option, which is to steal from the customer. So the customer comes with an item they're looking for and an item they're carrying. So they could choose to not sell to the customer and instead steal an item from the customer that they could then sell to someone else later. Does that make sense?
Hmm.
They pick it up, put it in their hand. Now, if I want to refresh the items that I have in my shop or my vendor stand, when I play it down, I have to discard one of the other items if I don't have an empty slot. So if I sell something, I get to for free play something, but otherwise I have to burn something else. Does that make sense? And the game ends when there are no more items left in the item deck.
Okay.
So that kind of loosens how things happen within the game. Now, so I was saying, why would you not want to sell to a customer when come to your bodega?
Right.
If I sell to a customer, they're going to turn around and they're going to exit the board in the same way they came. So there's like two tracks, which means they're going to pass by the street vendor again, who, of course, has the option to take from them. So I'm basically allowing him to stock himself up. So if I'm going to sell them something that I know he's looking for because there's another customer coming, I'd be better off not selling to them. Does that make sense? So there's two customers that both want a parka, right? That says, I love New York. If I sell to the first one, he's going to go right back to the street vendor. The street vendor is going to steal it, and then he's going to sell it to the second guy. Or I can not sell to the first one. He's going to continue walking off the board like he's still looking for another shop. The next guy is going to pass the street vendor, and then I'm going to sell to him. Does that make sense?
Okay. So how many different product types?
I'm thinking probably like...
if you got 10 slots, it seems like you would need more than
probably
10.
15. With a lot of repetition and a few things that are a little more rare.
Yeah.
And then customers would have a speed. Like, so on the start of the turn, you shift all the customers what their speed is, right?
Yeah.
So a customer who's buying something, looking for something rare, is going to be taking his time.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a customer who's just looking for an I Love New York parka is going to be moving a lot faster, right? He's in a hurry. He can find that at any store, right? Yeah. So I think that's honestly most of it.
Okay.
What thoughts do you have on that?
So the game ends when the deck of customers runs out.
Yes.
And the game win is whoever has the most money.
Right. And I just picture a track around the board that every time you make a sale, you get money off that.
So the street vendor, though, he's automatically going to be making less money than the other guy because you said he's undercutting the prices.
Right. But the catch is if I sell a customer something.
Uh-huh.
Before they get to the bodega, I can cut them off. They're going to turn on and go back. Does that make sense?
Oh, so he has more options, or he can get those customers first.
Right.
Okay.
That's his special power.
So he has to pass up customers before the guy in the shop can get them.
And he's going to get a random assortment of items to start with as well, a hand of items.
Do you have to spend the money that you earn to buy more items?
Right now, no.
Because that would be another advantage to the street vendor, that he could steal things and get them for free, whereas a shop owner has to spend money.
Spend a buck to draw. You spend a dollar to draw a card.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea. That makes total sense. Yeah. That's a great idea. I like that.
Okay. So on a turn, you would shift all the shoppers forward, whatever their movement is.
And that makes sense, right? Like common guys looking for common stuff are moving faster than ones looking for more rare items.
And can they only buy when they are on a specific space, or is there a range of spaces?
Specific space. But I mean, basically, like, it's not like roll and move exact count, right? It's like if I'm supposed to move four spaces and the vendor is on space two, I will stop at the vendor if the vendor wants to. When I cross the vendor, he will take his action, which is either to, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you could actually have two customers come through in a turn and take two different actions with them. You could steal from one. And in fact, you could steal something from one. Like say the first customer has the rare item, you steal it from him and then sell it to the other customer.
Okay. Now, how are you tracking the position? Do you just have cards on a track?
I figured there'd be like little squares on the track.
And then a token for the item or something? Or
not even that, just like cards for the items as well.
Okay.
But then on that long board, you just have like positions. Uh-huh. So like my card would be here. And then like I think the customers might be a mini deck of cards. They'd be smaller.
Okay.
And they just move down the track as you went. And then there'd be an exit track along the bottom.
Okay.
Though, honestly, the exit track really doesn't matter. Like, once they pass the vendor, they're not coming back.
Right.
So
they if they leave the bodega without buying anything, then they just keep walking. But if they buy something from the bodega, they turn around and go back.
Going back to the hotel, they got to go drop it off. So,
okay.
I thought that made sense, right?
Yeah.
So, like, they're going to keep looking otherwise.
Sure.
So, Yeah, I was really just going to make it about running a store. Mm-hmm. But then the more I thought about it, I thought I want to kind of use that full panoramic thing. Mm-hmm. And so at first I thought, well, maybe you just see customers coming, so you're trying to quick stock things, you know? Mm-hmm. And when I first started this too, I had a 4-player game. Each player was a unique role. There was one player was actually the tourist. But then I realized the tourist didn't really have much control over what they were doing, so it didn't really matter. Mm-hmm. And one player was the supplier who was selling to them. But same thing for them. Like, they didn't have a lot of options for what they could do. So
right.
I just nixed those two roles.
Sure, I think that's fine. So, I think it's fine. Yeah, that's interesting. That's cool.
It gives a bad name to street vendors. So, you know.
Yeah, that they're
just all trying
crooks.
They're just trying to sell you damaged Oakley sunglasses. It's cool, man. I brought three pairs of them. They were $10 a piece, man.
Yeah,
when I was in high school,
sure.
To be clear.
Yeah. That's funny, though, because all your things would be like touristy knickknacks, like Statue of Liberty statue and
right.
Statue of Liberty bottle opener or I Heart New York bumper sticker or.
Right.
Yeah. It's funny.
And then the rare things would be like an autograph of like the mayor or something.
Yeah.
Know, like,
yeah. You know? Yeah. That's cool. I like that.
This is Mayor Bloomberg, man.
Okay. Right on. Yeah.
So that's what I got. It's not super exciting, but I was happy with the challenge. I think that was a fun challenge. So,
it was a fun challenge. It was a different challenge.
So always feel free to tweet us challenges. I mean, we'll be honest. If we don't think it's going to fit, we won't do it. But I mean, in this case, that was genius.
It was fun. It was super fun. Yeah. Yeah. It was fun. Okay. Cool. Good stuff. No Twitters or voicemails or emails or
not for now. No
emails ors.
So yeah.
All right, then that's gonna do it for the show tonight. If Jason doesn't break his booth here,
comes apart.
Okay, it's supposed to do that.
Yeah.
All right. Good. Thanks everybody for listening. We appreciate it. If you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to buildingthegamepodcast@gmail.com. You can also call our voicemail at 770-TEL-BTG. If you don't want to do that, but you want to send us a message, you can record it on your home computer and send an email to us. buildingthegamepodcast@gmail.com. I already said that. You can like us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter. I am just discombobulated tonight. Twitter @podcastbtg. Jason is @JAslinkerlin, and I am @poorly_designed. Like us on the Facebooks and give us the 5-star reviews on the iTunes. Buy our games. Water Balloon Washout, Rumpelbum Academy for Bug Based Baking, Epic Monster Tea Party, and finish it. The Outrageous
Storytelling Book. Pretty good.
It is. That's it. Thanks again, guys. We'll see you. We'll talk to you in another week. Have a wonderful holiday. If we if for some reason the sky falls on us, or if you are going out of town and don't have access to the internet in your parents' house, because man, your parents are so behind the times. We hope that you have a wonderful holiday and a happy new year.
Indeed. All right.
Good night.
Good night.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios. All the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are property of the Building the Game podcast. Next time on Building the Game.
Does that make sense?
So game win.
Does that make sense?
Game.
Does that make sense?
Of
them. Does that make sense?
And
does that make sense?
Oh, so he can.
Does that make sense?
So if
I thought that made sense, right?
Yeah, that
makes total sense. Yeah,
that's funny.